text in Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel. We thank the Lord for the privilege to have been here these days. And appreciate you, Pastor and his wife, being so kind to us. And appreciate Richard and his family coming over tonight and Brother Logan singing for us. We thank the Lord for their kindness in these days as well. We have been, since Sunday night, looking at some of the storms in the Bible. I don't think they've been added for filler, just to take up some space in the Bible. But they have been placed there for our admonition. I hope you would not have your head in the sand and know that we're in a storm here in America. We're in a storm politically. We're in storms physically. We're in religious storms. And we're in the COVID storm. But God's got words for us. We've looked at a couple of those storms. We looked at the storm where Jesus was asleep on a pillow. Brought some thoughts on the power bestowed for all storms. We looked last evening at Noah's storm. I tell you, long before a storm comes up, you better be sure of who you're in. We brought some thoughts on the position to be held in all storms. I'd mention some of the others if you're interested in going and looking at them. There is a storm that the wise man and the foolish man found themselves in. We know some thoughts there about the purpose behind all storms. Why in the world is God sending me storms? Check your foundation, see what you're building on. If your house is folding, you ain't building on much. If you're sucking your thumb and whining and coming apart, you ain't building on much. Purpose behind all storms. There was Paul's storms on his way to Rome. We find in that when the perseverance is to believe in all storms. He told them boys on the ship, he said, I don't care what y'all do. He said, I'm going to believe God. Believe God. Then, of course, there's Jonah's storm, the purging for becoming all storms. Send storms to make us like him, whittle away at what we are. But tonight, I want to look at this storm in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, him walking on the water. Poplar's Branch folks have heard this storm, but it was a year ago, so they probably done forgot it, so. And I don't even know if it'd be the same now. But I want to look at this little storm tonight at the person to behold in all storms. If a storm comes up, spiritual storm in your life, look for him. Standing somewhere in the shadows, he'll be there. I find often in my storms that he comes by quietly, quickly. I fear many of us tonight, I don't think I'm wrong to say this. I fear most of us tonight, he comes by often and we miss it. He could come by on a fire truck blowing sirens. Most of us so consumed with a storm, we wouldn't even see it. This is awful deep. I don't even know if you can get this. It's not maybe way over your head. The only way you could see him in a storm is if you were looking for him. You were looking for him. As we begin to look at this storm tonight, I draw our attention in Mark chapter 6. This storm covers verse 41 through 51. But I notice the predicament of this storm. In verse 45, there is a predicament of constraint. It says, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. He knows full well the storm is coming. And he constrains them to get in the ship. The little word constrain means to necessitate, to require, to mandate. A person of his own free will will not choose trouble. I don't think any of us would raise our hand tonight and say, man, I want some of that COVID where they got to put that ventilator on you. That's what I want. Man, that's the line I want to get in. Oh, no. Ain't nobody volunteering for that. In my case, as I've thought about over the years, this year especially, I would not have gotten into the stage 3 carcinoma bladder cancer. Man, that's the line I want to get in. That's just thrilling to get in that line. But you don't have to worry. He's going to choose for you. And he's going to choose some lines that you don't like. What in the world does he want to do that to me for? So you'd go to looking for him. I was thinking about some of the 3 greatest men in the Bible who encountered so many storms, their comments on it. I think about old Job. So ain't nobody had storms like Job had. He made a statement. He said that a man born of a woman is here but a few days and full of trouble. I was wondering, how many of you have had a good day today? Raise your hand. You had a good day. How come you ain't shouting? God has never promised you a good day. Never has he ever promised you a good day. Job said you won't be here but a few days and they'll be full of trouble. Preacher, how do I know I'm going to have trouble? Go check your birth certificate. If your mama was a woman, Job said you're going to have trouble. And if your mama wasn't a woman, you might get out of this thing without any trouble. Peter said, think it not strange concerning fiery trials, as though some strange thing happened to you. Peter said, if you go to the door and troubles come to the door, don't think it's a foreigner. Hell, trouble, I've been expecting you. I just didn't know when you was coming. It's coming. Matter of fact, James said, count it all joy. When you fall. It's not about if. Oh, no, it's about when. It's about when it's coming. It's not if it's coming. It's coming. It's just about when it's going to get here. There's a predicament of constraint. But I noticed there is the predicament of calamity. I was interested in when this storm came for these old boys. It says in verse 47, and when even was come, God's mixing at evening, light and darkness. I don't know about you, I'll not speak for you. I don't like darkness. I've got 2 power, Georgia power poles on either end of my house. Birds won't even roost in my yard. They think it's daytime all the time. I don't like dark. There's a 100-watt bulb burning in the house right now in the center of the house. No worry, you want to burn a 100-watt bulb and you ain't even at home. If somebody breaks in, I won't be able to see what they're doing. I'm going to have to tear everything up. They can see what they're doing. I don't like darkness. Whenever storms come, God will begin to mix light and darkness. I read one of the old Puritans not long ago. He said, do not fear the dark, for it is but a canopy on which the storm, the stars hang, and a place in which the redeemed can shine for his glory. Oh, you can shine your best when God cuts the lights out on you. I was thinking about darkness. I'd only take a minute of it. I don't want to confuse you with the Bible. Isaiah, just for a second, and chapter 45. I've always thought, coming up, going to Bible school and everything, I've always thought that God didn't have anything to do with the dark. That's the devil's world. God don't work in nothing but light. Of course, I don't know about you. I've found that a study of the Bible mess up a lot of things you thought you believed, or what you've been taught, or what Paul believed. In Isaiah 45, verse 3, Isaiah said, I will give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of the secret place, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. Isaiah said, the only place you can really realize who God is in the dark. Have you ever had him cut the lights out on you? Put you in situations where you just didn't know what to do. It is there that you'll find him the most faithful. He says down in verse number 7, I form the light. That little word form means to mold or shape with the hands. And what? Create darkness. The word create is our little word for control, or if you put it in our better understanding, the one with the steering wheel. God said, if any darkness comes into your life, do not think the devil's driving. Oh, no. The devil ain't never had no steering wheel. This is God driving. You say, I don't like that. Well, take it up with him if you ever see him. He says in the text, he says, I make peace. There's that molding and shaping. And what? Create evil. He says, I've got the steering wheel to all evil tonight. He said, in case you think there's something that I'm not in control of, he says, I am the Lord and do all these things. All. Pretty inclusive tonight. He says, I am in control of it all. The predicament of calamity. What am I to do when God puts me in the dark? Preacher, I'm in a situation right now, I just don't know what to do. I tell you one thing you better do, you better go to looking for him. Standing somewhere in the middle of that darkness, you'll find him. He is there. Back in our text tonight in that Mark chapter number 6, I see not only this predicament tonight of constraint and calamity, but I see the predicament of change. He says in verse 47, when evening was come and the ship was in the midst of the sea. God has always throughout the Bible used sea experiences to move his people from a lower level to a higher level. He has used sea experience to change their focus. And usually these sea experiences was not happy, happy, happy time. I think about the children of Israel and the Red Sea experience. He was moving them from slavery to redemption. I was thinking about when he had a Jordan River experience with the children of Israel. He was moving them from the wilderness to Canaan, moving them from sight living to faith living. It wasn't a happy, 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 happy time. I was thinking about Elijah, his Jordan River experience, moving him from an earthly place to an eternal place. Old Elijah caught a chariot out of here. He ain't died yet. Hey, Elijah, how far is it from here to God's house? He said, it's just a short chariot ride from here. Used a sea experience. Old Jonah, Took him from Tarshish to Nineveh. From disobedience to obedience. He caught a whale Uber ride. I was in a church not long ago, and of course I ain't got to tell you this, Richard. Sometimes singers say the dumbest things before they sing. She made the statement, she said, God's a gentleman. He won't never make you do anything you don't want to do. I leaned over to Beth. I said, I wonder if Jonah thought he was a gentleman. Are you listening to me tonight? See experiences tonight. Jesus down there by the Jordan River, he went from beholding the Lamb to becoming the Lamb. What fascinates me over in Revelations, there's a verse over there, a very powerful verse in chapter 21. But he sticks on the end of the verse, a little statement, and you say, what in the world did he stick that in there for? It doesn't even make no sense. He says in that little verse that there was a new heaven and a new earth. And he sticks this on the end of the sentence. And there were no more seas. Oh, when we bump up on that shore, there ain't going to be no more sailing. There's not going to be no more movement. Not going to be no more moving from one low place to another. There's not going to be any more troubles. It'll be all over after that. Oh, my. Talking about the predicament of change. I see also in this text tonight the not only the persuasion in this storm, predicament, but I see the priest of their storm. Verse 46, we might ask, well, what in the world was he doing while they were in a storm? Same thing he's doing now. What in the world was he doing? Why didn't he help them? He was. He says, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain. What? To pray. Well, why in the world don't he help me with my storm? He is. Well, what's he doing? He's praying. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that 2,000 years ago, he ascended back to heaven and sat down. There he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Matter of fact, he's only ever gotten up but two times since he sat down. He got up for Stephen's homecoming. He gave him a standing ovation. He got up when Paul was in prison, went down there to see him. Only two times he's gotten up. Hey, Bill and Hillary never got him up. Old Boo-Boo didn't get him up. Trump didn't get him up. Sleepy Joe ain't going to get him up. He gets up again, he's coming. I'm glad of that tonight, aren't you? Well, why don't he help me in my storm? He is. He's praying. Steve Lawson said God's never looked into the future and learned anything. So he is interceding from that position. He already knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow. Well, how does he know? He planned it that way. He's planned your entire life out from beginning to end. And he's praying you through it. I was thinking not only the supplication of the priest, but I was noticing the sight of the priest. In verse 48 it says, and when he saw them. He's up in the mountain now. And they're down in the sea. It's dark. It's nighttime. How in the world did he see them? Only thing I can figure is he must have had those new night vision binoculars where he could see 12 lit up figures on the water. Only thing I can figure. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's God, ain't he? Yeah. He can see as good in the dark as he can in the light. He saw them. In the midst of our storms, God's howling about us with the winds of trouble. The only way that you'll see him looking your way is if you're looking His way. If you're looking around, oh, you'll miss Him looking your way. You'll miss Him when He comes by. Oh, He was looking their way. I was thinking of the security of this priest. The writer of Hebrews says that He has entered into the Holy of Holies, and He is our anchor there. If you're saved tonight, He has put an anchor rope around your soul. It's an anchor of hope. He's taken the other end of the anchor rope into the Holy of Holies. He's got the other end of the anchor rope around Himself. Now please don't pinch me and wake me up. I believe that while He's praying for me, He's doing this.
Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord.
He's just slowly pulling me in.
Yeah.
You say, well, preacher, how in the world would I know if He's got an anchor rope on me or not? A little story told years ago about a little boy over in England flying a kite. And he had done let all the string out of it. He'd been flying it most of the day. Got dark, pitch black dark. Old man came by. He said, "Laddie, what you doing?" He said, "I'm flying a kite." He said, "How in the world you still know the kite's out there?" He said, "Every now and then I feel a tug on the string. How do I know I've got an anchor rope? Every now and then I feel a tug on it. Maybe somebody sings a song. Maybe a preacher says something that touches my heart. And I feel that tug on my heart. Assuring me again that God is there. And He is pulling me slowly unto Himself." I'm talking about the priest of the storm. Could I mention the perception of the storm? There is the perception of a self effort. He sees them, he says in verse 48, toiling and rowing. Oh, yes. They probably old Tennessee folks. "Our preacher, you ain't got to worry about us. We're tough. We make it through this. We'll row our way through. Don't you worry about us. We got this." There is no evidence anywhere in the Bible where anybody ever made it to shore rowing. Self-effort. Matter of fact, in Ezekiel it says, "The rowers have brought us into great waters, and the wind has broken up the ship." This deep theological truth in Jonah said, "The men rowed hard to bring it to land." Here's the deep theological truth. But they could not. You trying to work your way through your troubles tonight? I preach, you don't worry about me. I've been at this a long time. How's that working out for you? Rowing. Trying to get yourself through it. Perception of a self-effort. I noticed in this verse something that's helped me even this past year. The perception of strength. He says that he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. The word contrary is a very interesting word. It's the little word headwind. Headwind. I love to fly on a plane if they got a tailwind. Because if they got a tailwind, you're going to get there early. If it's a headwind, you're going to be about 30 or 40 minutes late. Though I thought it was interesting, this little word contrary has the idea of a headwind. But the little root of the word is worship. What in the world is God sending me trouble for? Impede my forward progress. Headwind. He wants to see what it would take to stop you from coming over here. Oh, it's easy to do it on that. You listen to me. Oh, impede our forward progress. slow us down. I was thinking about that here. I've had the joys of week ago last Friday being put to sleep for the fifth time this year for stage 3 carcinoma bladder cancer. And first time he went in to get the cancer, I've got such a sweet urologist, such a sweet PA. She's an African-American lady, godly lady. He told me right out this gate, he says, I think I ought to put a catheter in there and leave it for 3 or 4 days after we have this bladder surgery. And I said, I don't want that. I said, I don't need that. He said, have it your way. Well, I had the cancer surgery. Man, I felt great after it was over with. Matter of fact, her and I went to Waffle House, ate breakfast. About 3 o'clock that afternoon, my pride and arrogance had wore off. And I needed a catheter, bad. Of course, you know, I could have gotten one that morning asleep. Yeah. Now I'm going to get one awake. It's far different. Sleep than awake. About 9 o'clock that night, I had to go to the emergency room. It got stopped up. And I started having bladder spasms. I never had anything like that. I read an article says it the closest thing to that a man can have to a woman having contractions, birth pains. When they would come sudden-like. And the only thing I knew to do was to scream at the top of my voice. I'd scare her to death, scare me to death. It was the most horrible pain I'd ever experienced. One morning I had screamed at the top of my lungs, and the good Holy Ghost inside of me whispered to me. He said, you know, Jesus didn't act like that when he was going through his pain. He told me, he said, why don't you get your songbook? And every time one of them bladder spasms come on, you said, why don't you just sing your way through it? One of my favorite songs during those bladder spasms was, oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Christ the King. I went back over to the urologist with my PA, the African-American lady, such a godly lady, to remove my catheter. And she stuck a head in the door and she said, Lord have mercy. She said, I wonder what happened to my preacher man since he got his cancer out. Well, about time she stuck a head in the door, I was having a bladder spasm. And me and the sister had broke out in, oh, come let us adore him. She stuck her head in the door, and in that old African-American voice, she jumped right in there with us. Oh, come let us adore him. What are y'all doing down at urologist's office? We're having meetings. You say it help you with your pain? Absolutely not. It hurt just as bad as it had ever hurt. But every now and then I'd feel a tug on the rope. I'd feel a tailwind pressing me towards God. No help with the pain at all. God loves obedience, the perception of strength. I see, too, the perception of sufficiency. The Bible says in the storm took place after he had just fed 5,000 men with 2 fishes and a few loaves of bread. 5,000. You know good and well that every one of them had a wife with them at least. That's 10,000. And they had one child. You know good and well they had multiple wives and multiple children. But we'll just say they had 15,000 there. Bible says 12 basketfuls left over. And straightway, that's immediately, they got the basket in the hand. Straightway, he tells them to get on the ship. What did they do with the basket? They set the basket down. In ship. Only thing I can figure. And they get out there, a storm comes up. Ship starts rocking. Up, down. Preacher, what do you think happened to basket? I believe basket probably flipped over. Now, fishing bread. All over bottom of ship. All over bottom of disciple sandals. Only thing I can figure is that they're standing on yesterday's blessings. Wondering if God can take care of them today. Oh, how many times do you and I do that? We're worried about whether God can pay the electricity bill. Honey, I tell you what. If God can't pay your electricity bill, I wouldn't trust him to take you way out there. That's a pretty good trip out through there. Listen to me tonight. I'm talking about the perception of sufficiency. I close tonight the person of the storm. I notice the shape of the person. He comes walking across the water in verse 49. They saw him walking upon the sea. They supposed that it had been Casper. That is the word, a ghost. And I think they had a natural response. They cried out, high soprano pitch scream. That's what I would do if I saw a ghost. Ah! Shape of the person. You know, oftentimes when God comes along in our storms, he may take a shape that you're not familiar with. He doesn't have to come by with something good to get you out of your troubles. Paul and Silas was in prison down there and he come by in an earthquake. I don't know about you, I'm not into earthquakes. But he was. That's how he got them out. Sometimes I think the only thing at his disposal is to send me something good. Oh no, oh no. Some of the biggest times I've seen God, the biggest is when it was the worst. The shape of the person. I see the speech of the person. It says in verse 50, for they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them. Dave, God's got you in trouble tonight. You cut the lights out. Look for him. Listen for him. He's coming by quickly and quietly. And more than likely, he's going to speak. He's going to say something. Talking about the speech of the person. I see the statement of the person. What did he say to him? He said, be of good cheer. Keep your chin up is the word. It is I. Be not afraid. I always think about that little boy in the Christmas play. That was his part. Be not afraid. It is I. He had practiced that thing all week. He stepped out on that stage and saw all that crowd. And he said, I'm scared. It's me and I'm scared to death. That's usually our statement tonight and in the middle of our troubles. It's me and I'm scared to death. I'm talking about the person to behold in all storms. Just thinking about old B.B. Caldwell. Preacher that preached all over this country years ago. Somebody asked old Caldwell one day, said, Caldwell, what do you do when you're in a spiritual storm? Troubles, heartaches, darkness. He said, I lay down in my spiritual boat. He said, I pull the blanket of the good Holy Ghost over my head. And he said, I cry out, sail on, King Jesus, sail on. That's what some of you might need to do tonight before this thing's over. Just lay down in your ship. Pull the blanket of the Holy Ghost over your head. Cry out to Jesus, sail on, King Jesus, sail on. Old D.L. Moody knew a lot about troubles and heartaches and difficulties. said one time that he had been in England holding some conferences there. They said old D.L. Moody had one foot in America and one foot in England. He didn't have hundreds saved, didn't have thousands saved. They said he had millions professed Christ. He was returning, he said. They were in the Atlantic. He said they got caught in a hurricane. And he said they couldn't get out of it for 4 days. It kept them in a circle. He said he was up on top deck, sitting in a deck chair, holding on to what one of the support beams, reading a book. He said there was an old gale over to the side, the edge of the boat. He said she was losing what she had had for breakfast. He said she crawled over to where he was at, and she said, "Kind sir, could you please tell me in the middle of this hurricane how you could sit in that deck chair and read a book?" He said, "Oh, yes, ma'am." He said, "I'd be glad to tell you." He said, "I've got two sisters." He said, "One of them is in New York Harbor waiting my arrival there." And he says, "I've got another sister on Heaven's Shore waiting for my arrival over there." And he said, "I don't care today which one of them I see first." See, when you get to that place, the devil's just out of artillery to mess with you in the midst of a storm. Songwriter said it best when he said, "Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous seas. Unknown ways before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoals. Chart and compass come from thee. Savior, pilot me. As a mother steals her child, thou canst hush the ocean while. Boisterous waves obey thy will when thou sayest to them, be still. Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Savior, pilot me." I love this verse. "When at last I near the shore and the fearful breakers roar, 'twixt me and the peaceful rest, then while leaning on thy breast, may I hear thee say to me, I will pilot thee." I'm glad tonight we have a pilot, and he shall take us safely in. Preacher, that's the message. Thank you.